unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present Chapter 16 of The Eternal Light. This public service program is prepared under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's story, written by Morton Wishengrad, is based on an essay by Professor Louis Ginsberg entitled Rabbi Israel Salanter, and features Bartlett Robertson as Salanter and Alexander Scorby as narrator. Following the dramatic portion of the program, you will hear a talk by Mr. Samuel Kramer.
What are the three capital sins for the people of Israel? They are only three: idolatry, unchastity, and murder. And it is written in the Talmud, there comes a time when it is considered a virtue to trespass a law of the Torah. There is even a time when a man may transgress all except the three capital injunctions, if thereby he saves a life for the world. One 105 years ago, there lived in the city of Vilna a man of piety and wisdom, the sage and scholar Rabbi Israel Salanter. And once, in the evening of his days, after a life of gentle and scrupulous devotion to the law, he committed a great act of transgression. On the solemn Day of Atonement, the day of Yom Kippur, Rabbi Israel Salanter stood before the Holy Ark and said to the congregation of Vilna,
The prophet Habakkuk has written that the righteous liveth by his faith. It is our faith to keep this day of Yom Kippur in prayer and fasting. I command you now to put away this fast. Take up bread in your hand, pronounce the benediction, and eat. People of the congregation, I order you to break the fast. I order you to eat.
They heard him, and they were incredulous. And he commanded them again, and they raised their voices against him. And then the look of the prophets came upon the face of Rabbi Israel, and his voice was a thundering from the holy ark. And the men and women of Vilna wept and refused to commit the transgression of the fast. And then Rabbi Israel Salanter wept also. And he called to one by his side,
Bring me bread and salt and a glass of wine. I myself will be the first to eat and to make a blessing for bread on the day of Yom Kippur.
Who was this man who broke the sacred prohibition? He was a scholar of scholars and a man of gentleness. He measured his day with acts of righteousness, even as the seconds measure the minutes and the minutes measure the hours. I recall once when, in a time of great urgency, Rabbi Israel encountered a man who was lamed in the foot. And the wife of Rabbi Israel, who was equally urgent, was greatly provoked.
Oh, now we're late, Rabbi Israel.
I'm sorry, Leah, but the man was lame. I couldn't hurry.
And why couldn't you?
Leah, you saw yourself. The man was lame.
Well, you're not lame. Now we're late, but too late. Oh, you see what you've done?
I cannot help it, Leah. He barely walks. Would it be right for me to hurry?
No, there is such a thing as carrying tact too far.
Tact, Leah?
That's what I said.
Yes, Leah. Tact. Consideration, if you will. But something more. It is written in the law that a man is forbidden to display unusual ability in the presence of the handicapped. It is a good law, Leah. If God wills, I will never violate it.
And yet this man, this humble man of God, Rabbi Israel Salanter, committed a breach of the Yom Kippur fast. Perhaps it was because of a momentary weakness, you may ask. But he was not a man of weakness. He was a man of moral strength and considerable wisdom also. I mind the time when Solomon Cohen died and left a will which was too troublesome for the probate court. And Meyer, the son of Solomon, came to Rabbi Israel in his perplexity.
I thought my father loved me, Rabbi Israel.
He did, Meyer. He loved you very much.
Then why this will?
He leaves you all his wealth. Surely you have no complaint.
Haven't I? Listen. My son shall not receive his inheritance until he becomes foolish.
Yes.
Oh, it's no laughing matter, Rabbi Israel. What does he mean? My son shall not receive his inheritance until he becomes foolish.
Meyer... Tell me, Meyer, are you married?
How can a man marry without money?
Oh, I see. Then there is someone.
Naturally there's someone. Naomi, the grain dealer's youngest daughter.
Marry her, Meyer. And then when your firstborn arrives, go to the probate court and you will be paid your inheritance.
But, Rabbi Israel, I don't understand.
Meyer, your father was a very wise man. Bless his memory.
But wait...
Marry Naomi and have your firstborn. Don't you see, Meyer? When a man becomes a father, he romps on the floor with his child. He utters unseemly noises with his tongue. He bores his friends utterly with his simple stories. Now have your child, Meyer. You will become properly human and properly foolish. You will justify your inheritance. Meyer, that is the meaning of your father's will.
Rabbi Israel Salanter, a scholar and a sage, and withal a man of humor and understanding. Yet this saintly person committed an act of transgression. And before I reveal to you the circumstance of his transgression, I must reveal once again the merit of Rabbi Israel. It happened on a certain day that the ghetto was disturbed by the voice of Moses, the wine merchant.
Don't let them get away. Hold those two men. They're thieves.
What did they do, Moses?
They robbed me. Hold them. Here. Is this yours, Moses? Yes. This and this. Ah, the scoundrels.
What have you two to say for yourselves?
I didn't take it.
He's a liar as well as a thief. It was on him.
I tell you, I couldn't have taken it.
No, I suppose the angel Gabriel flew it under your coat.
How could I take it? Look down. Look at my feet.
Huh?
Moses, this man is a cripple.
What? What did you say?
He's a cripple. Well, if he didn't take it, the other man did.
Yeah. Listen, you, it's very wicked to pass off your thievery on a poor, helpless cripple.
I didn't pass anything off.
Be still, you thief.
I'm telling you, I passed nothing to him, and I'm not a thief. I couldn't. Look here. Look at my eyes.
In the name of God, the man is blind.
Pay no attention to them. If one didn't take it, the other did. I want them punished.
1 second, Moses. This is too much for us
to
decide.
Which one is going to be punished? I know. Take them to Rabbi Israel. He will decide.
Hush. Quiet, everyone. Silence, please.
How was it done, Rabbi Israel?
I believe I know.
Didn't I tell you Rabbi Israel would know?
Tell us.
Yes, yes, wait. Blind man, stand up.
Yes, Rabbi Israel.
A thief must be punished.
But I swear I haven't seen the light of day for 12 years.
Nevertheless, a thief must be punished. Do you admit that?
All right. I admit it. But I'm not the thief. He took it.
How could I, Rabbi Israel? I haven't walked for 15 years. I admit a thief must be punished, but if you punish me, you punish an innocent man.
Attend me. Clearly, only one man here is the thief, since one pair of eyes guided one pair of legs.
So who is to be punished?
Moses, the Talmud has decided. Place the crippled man on the blind man's back.
What are you going to do?
Get up.
Good. Now observe, all of you. What do we behold?
A cripple on a blind man's back.
Yes, Moses. One pair of sound eyes, one pair of sound legs. People, this is the single thief. For the purposes of crime, they were one. For the purposes of judgment, let them also be one.
Then judge them, Rabbi Israel.
Oh, no, that is not proper. Take them to the court.
No, you judge them yourself.
My son, Rabbi Ishmael said, judge not alone, for none may judge alone save the Holy One. Neither say to thy colleague, accept my opinion, for he is free to choose, but thou art not. Take them to the court and be quick, for the day is Friday, and dusk is at hand. We must hurry to the synagogue to welcome the Sabbath.
A song of the Sabbath, a song of welcome. Lecho dodi likras kalo. Come, my friend, to meet the bride. For truly is not the Sabbath the bride of Israel. Thus they sang, and thus each Sabbath eve in the synagogue of Vilna sang Rabbi Israel Salanter. It is an ancient poem to be sung with tenderness and with pride and not without a wetness of the eye. And in this manner upon the song, Sabbath followed upon Sabbath. The night became long and was stricken with winter, and the houses of the ghetto huddled together against the cold. The seasons changed, and life in Vilna was uneventful and therefore the more to be cherished. And the people cherished their rabbi, for he was a man of God and good and without blemish. And then, a month before the days of penitence, with neither pause nor warning, an affliction descended from the east. Some said it came from China, some said India. It did not matter. It was the cholera, and from it came death and the transgression of Israel Salanter. But first came death.
He didn't complain, Rabbi Israel. First the pain in the legs, then the cramping. He didn't complain. We buried him quickly, as you said, Rabbi Israel.
Rouse yourself, Rebecca.
Why?
Rebecca, listen to me.
Why?
Rebecca.
Yes. All right. I'll listen.
Your brother is sick. Your husband is sick. There's no one but you to care for them.
My baby is dead.
Rebecca, rouse yourself.
May he rest in peace.
Amen. Rebecca, you must tend to your husband and to your brother.
All right, Rabbi Israel, I'll tend to them.
They are taken bad, but you must tend them without fear.
I've already buried my child. How can I have fear?
Very well. Hot stones wrapped in towels for the feet, Rebecca.
All right.
And they are to bring ice from the ice house. The doctor says administer it by mouth. It may stop the vomiting.
Yes, of course.
And feed them, Rebecca. Feed them frequently.
With what? I have nothing in the house. No one has anything now. Not a kopeck, not a spoon of barley.
Then wait here. I'm going to see Moses, the wine merchant. He will help.
Oh, we have come on an evil time, Rabbi Israel.
Yes, Moses, but
you... The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Of course. But Moses, listen...
Oh, Rabbi Israel, how great must be our sins that this punishment has been visited upon us.
In the name of heaven, Moses, a little less verbal piety. These people need help.
Rabbi Israel, we all need help. You must do your duty, Rabbi Israel. Tell them to trust in the Lord.
Moses, I have raised my hand against no man in all my life. But before God, I believe it would be no sin if I struck you now.
Rabbi Israel, someone might think I uttered a blasphemy. Is it such a terrible crime to trust in the Lord?
It is a crime for you to tell that to the needy.
But I trust in God. Why shouldn't they?
Moses, does that trust make you indifferent to the misfortune of others? They have no food, no money. You have. Are you going to put your hand in your pocket, or are you going to let them starve?
If they trust in God, they will not starve.
Moses, sometimes there can be nothing more loathsome than a complacent man. Do you think you can perform your religious duties only in the seclusion of the house of worship? Do you think it is enough to repeat a prayer, to observe the dietary laws, to make a false show of piety? Do you think a man of religion must only contemplate and never serve? Moses, put your hand in your pocket. We need food, we need medicines. And by all that's holy, never, Moses, never tell a needy man to trust in God before you yourself have helped him.
Get into bed, Rebecca. You have fallen sick.
I can't, Doctor. There's no one left to help the others.
Rabbi Israel, she must get into bed.
Do as the doctor says, Rebecca.
No, I can't. I lost my child. I can't lose my husband and my brother.
I'll stay here. I'll tend to you.
No. Rabbi, it's the Sabbath. Your place is in the synagogue.
Rebecca, every house is a synagogue. Every house where men are born and live and die. And remember, Rebecca, Shakanot Nefashot. In a time of danger for human life, observance of the law may be set aside without sin. Is there a better place for me to pray than here? Is there a better way for me to pray than by doing what I can for you and your family?
I'll go to bed. I'm very tired. I'll go, Rabbi Israel.
I must talk to you, Rabbi Israel.
Yes, doctor.
8 in every 10 are dead and dying.
So bad, doctor?
Yes, so bad. And the others will surely die, and you will die with them. Unless...
Unless what? Come to the point, doctor.
There must be no fasting on the Day of Atonement.
On the 10th day of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. There shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls. Yes, doctor, and ye shall afflict your souls, and take no manner of food, and take no manner of drink.
Do not quote scripture, Rabbi Israel.
They would sooner die than break the solemn fast.
If they do not break it, they will surely die.
Tell me what to do, doctor.
I want you to break the Yom Kippur fast.
I cannot do that, doctor. The righteous liveth by his faith. If it is God's will, I shall die. I am no longer young. Perhaps you cannot understand it. But if it is a choice of breaking the fast or dying, I have no alternative but to die.
I cannot understand it. However, suit yourself. But do not let them die. Tell them they must live.
Yes, I can do that. Nothing is more sacred than life. All right, doctor. I shall tell them to break the fast.
Notice, Rabbi Israel, there will be no fasting to...
What, no, fast on Yom Kippur.
Tear it down.
Wait, let's talk to him.
Rabbi Israel, will you break the solemn fast?
No.
Then neither do we.
You must persuade them, Rabbi Israel.
I have done more, doctor. I have commanded them. They won't listen.
It is Yom Kippur, Rabbi Israel. If they fast today, not even a miracle can save them.
Very well, doctor. I know what I must do.
Synagogue of Vilna, the cantor sang Kol Nidre on the solemn Day of Atonement. And outside, the death carts were piled high in the streets of the ghetto. And the day was blacker than night, and no stars shone. And a cantor sang Kol Nidre, and a remnant of Israel heard the melody and listened to the slow beat of its heart. The widows listened, and the orphans, and the bereaved men of the congregation. And they marveled that the cantor had strength to sing, for they barely had strength to listen. Then Rabbi Israel Salanter stepped slowly before the open Ark of the Covenant and touched his finger to the holy scroll and turned to the congregation and spoke.
Wherefore have we fasted and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul and thou takest no knowledge? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the fetters of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Hear me, people of Vilna. Wherefore do we fast? Is it not to deal our bread to the hungry, and to bring the poor that are cast out to our house? And if the house is empty, whom shall we bring? I, Rabbi Israel Salanter, charge you to break this fast. People of Vilna, in the name of God, I command you to break bread, to pronounce the benediction, and to eat.
Rabbi Israel, as we have lived, so shall we die. We cannot break the fast.
I command you.
You shame us, Rabbi Israel. You shame us before the open ark of the covenant.
Will you eat?
We will not.
Murder is a capital sin. You murder yourselves by not eating.
Rabbi Israel, I am no scholar. I make no claim to learning, but there are some laws that may be transgressed and some that may never be. And we will not break the law of the holiest of days.
My children, there comes a time when it is considered a virtue to trespass a law of the Torah. And this is such a time. There is even a time when a man may transgress every single one of the 613 precepts of the Torah, with the exception of the commandment against idolatry, the commandment against unchastity, and the commandment against murder. And this is also such a time. For by our transgression, not a single life, but many lives are saved for the world. And what is more holy than life?
We commit no transgression today, Rabbi Israel. We are neither more nor less than you, and we will not do what you will not do.
Very well. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has kept us in life and has preserved us and enabled us to reach this season. Moses?
Yes, Rabbi Israel?
In my bag. Take it from my bag.
Take what?
A loaf of bread.
Here is the loaf of bread, Rabbi Israel.
Say the benediction with me, Moses. Moses, say it with me.
Blessed art thou,
O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringest forth bread from the ground. Now, Moses, let us eat the Yom Kippur bread and live.
And the Rabbi Israel Salanter stood before the Ark of the Lord on the solemn Day of Atonement and ate bread. And the congregation of Vilna wept. Then Rabbi Israel closed the Ark, and they returned to their houses, and they ate. And they lived. And when the city was cleansed and the dead were buried, Rabbi Israel spoke to the congregation.
O Lord, what is man that thou shouldst magnify him, and thou shouldst set thy heart upon him, and that thou shouldst remember him every morning and try him every moment? O thou watcher of men, why hast thou set me as a mark for thee, so that I am a burden to myself? I ask you Job's question, people of Israel, and I know the answer. Every man is the Lord's mark.
Every life is one mortal atom of the Lord. Let us live each day as though it were the last of days. Let us do justly. Let us honor all men. For all men are the handiwork of God. Now let us in the synagogue, for the day is Friday, and the night is gathering. Let us rejoice and sing a welcome to the Sabbath.
Copies of the script you have just heard, as well as the talk which follows immediately, may be obtained without cost by writing to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we present a brief talk by Mr. Samuel Kramer, prominent lay leader and Orthodox Jewry. Mr. Kramer.
Rabbi Israel Salanter, whom we have just heard described, was one of the great saints, as well as one of the foremost Jewish scholars of the 19th century. He combined in himself rare devotion to the law with an equally rare love of his fellow men. Thus, in a sense, he exemplified the virtues which Talmudic tradition ascribes to the great Hillel of rabbinic days. Rabbi Israel Salanter was one of the few men in modern times who stressed the fact that the basic problem of civilization was that of producing better men. He set himself to bring about the ennoblement of the men among whom he lived. Rabbi Salanter tried to raise their level of conduct by example as well as by precept. His setting aside the fast of the Day of Atonement during the cholera epidemic is perhaps the most dramatic incident of his life, but it was only one of the supreme examples of the attitude he took toward Judaism and life at all times. He loved God, as the biblical phrase has it, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might. And loving God so passionately, he had an equal love for God's creatures. In his love for men, Rabbi Salanter was eager not simply to make their lives more comfortable, but also to make them more meaningful, more significant, and more creative. He believed that he could achieve this end by the founding of the Mussar movement, which still exists. It is a movement which aims to stress the ethical ideals in Judaism, side by side with the Jewish ritual, a movement which held that religion is a single unit, including duties to God and duties to fellow men, and that the two groups of duties are inseparable from one another. As with other great ideas and ideals, the Mussar movement had an influence far beyond its own group. The piety which Rabbi Israel Salanter evoked from his disciples inevitably made them exemplars for the action of others. And so it probably happens that many of us today are living better and finer lives because, unconsciously and indirectly, but very effectively, our lives have been influenced by the ideas and ideals emanating from the great Jewish teacher of Lithuania, Rabbi Israel Salanter.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer. The Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishengrad. Featured today were Bartlett Robison as Rabbi Israel Salanter, Alexander Scorby as the narrator, and cantor Robert H. Siegel of the Beacon Street Temple in Brookline, Massachusetts, as the soloist. The music was composed by Henry Brandt and the orchestra was conducted by Milton Katims. The entire production was under the direction of Ira Avery. This is a public service program of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations and is prepared by the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. For free copies of the script, write to the Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.